Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Krista Joy from DisneyWays.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Hey there, folks! Happy Halloween! We got lots of treats just for you!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Disney Parks Podcast. Disney Parks Podcast is your source for Disney Parks news and information from the Disney parks around the globe, including interviews with your favorite goofy voice actor, and so much more. Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Parkhopper Sid, and I blog at www.parkhoppers.com. Joining me, as always, is Mr. Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com. Tony, will you introduce our special guest?
I most certainly will. Today, our guest is an incredibly talented comedian and voice actor. He has done everything from TVs to movies and everything in between that. For us Disney fans, we will know him by the famous voice of the lovable and sometimes awkward voice of Goofy. Welcome to the show, Bill Former.
Well, hi, guys, or perhaps I should say, gorge, howdy, guys. It's great to be here.
Thank you for taking time out of your day and doing this. We really, really super appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.
So I guess we want to start with some questions. I'll kind of start off, and then Sarah will jump in. But I was reading that you had done some stand-up comedy. So Did you enjoy doing that? How did you get into that whole, doing stand-up comedy?
Well, that was kind of how I got into show business in the first place. I lived in Dallas back in the early 80s, and they had a comedy club called the Comedy Corner. And on Tuesday nights, they would have an open mic night where anyone could get up and do a little comedy if they wanted. I went down there one time, and I said, that sounds like I could probably do that. So I went home and wrote a little comedy routine with some voices and impressions, went down there the next week, and went up and got a pretty good response. And the house comic, or the main MC, who's very famous now, a guy named Bill Engvall, who's known from the blue collar comedy tour and everything. He was on Dancing with the Stars last season, and he said, "Hey, you gotta keep doing this." And he gave me some encouragement. I kept going back, and within about 6 months, I was doing stand up at a lot of the other clubs around Texas, Houston, Austin, other areas. And it kind of became my career for about 4 years until I moved to Hollywood in 1986 and got lucky with a very important audition that I won and have changed my life. And that was, of course, the audition for Goofy, and I'm still doing it.
I think everybody says it, and you can give us your feedback, that comedy is one of the hardest things to do.
Yeah, especially when you're starting out, because you don't know what you're doing. It's just can be frightening and horrible, but it is the best training that I've ever had, because there's nothing like immediate feedback. And it's not like doing a voice or something for your mom where, "Oh, Billy, that's wonderful." The crowd will let you know if you stink or, if you're really funny.
Yeah.
And you learn. So if you can survive stand-up, you can survive just about anything.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had other voice actors on, like Pat Carroll and Mark Silverman and things like that. And they've all said kind of the same thing. It's, when you're doing something live, you get the immediate reaction. And if you're, entertaining or you're on target, the feedback from the audience. But, if you're doing like a voice actor, you're, in a sound booth and you don't know, there's no reaction.
Yeah, you learn from doing live comedy on how to say a line to get the maximum impact, to get the joke across. And you can only learn that if you get a response. It's very difficult for people that have a background in radio, which I did radio for a number of years as well. You don't know how those jokes are received. You don't get the feedback that gives you the timing. And when you're doing voice acting, quite often you're in the booth by yourself, and you have to know how to deliver a line And without the laughter and everything coming after it, you just have to know that it, you presented it as well as you can.
Yeah.
Now, I know that you you still do the stand-up comedy, even though you have, you know, you're doing Goofy and you're doing other voices for Disney. Have there ever been any bits that Disney came back to you and said, yeah, could you not do that anymore? Or have you done any voices that they now ask you not to do in your show?
No, you know, over the years, they've been very supportive of the other things I do. And I have a monthly show that I do, a sketch comedy group with Fred Willard, who you may know from all sorts of, you know, great movies over the year. And we have a show that, as a matter of fact, we're putting on one on May 6th here in Hollywood at the Second City Theater, sketches that we've written. We put it up in front of the public. But no, Disney has been, I just treat the characters with the respect that they deserve. And, of course, wouldn't say anything really inappropriate with Goofy. And, you know, if I treat them right, it's no problem with Disney.
So how did you first find out that you can do the Goofy voice? You know, there were a couple people that did it before you, and you're now the current voice. How did you know that you could, you know, do that?
I do a couple of hundred different voices, and did when I was a stand-up comic impressionist. And that goes back to when I was a kid, and I started like doing impressions of cartoon characters, and actually one of the early ones was Boo Winkle the Moose, which I love watching on television, and a lot of the Warner Brothers characters, like, oh brother, ain't I a stinker, you're despicable, hoo-hoo, you know, and I got a top buddy cat. So I watched the Warner Brothers an awful lot. I didn't see a whole lot of the Disney stuff except on Wonderful World of Color. And, you know, I tried my Goofy and Gorsh, you know, but I didn't really think of it as one of my best voices for a long time until I got the, and I didn't have it in my comedy routine until I got the audition for it. And I only had 1 weekend to really practice it before I went in for the audition. And it just seems to fall right in the wheelhouse. The timbre of my voice and whatever my delivery seemed very close to Pinto Colvig's, and out of about 1,000 people or so that tried out, I was the one they liked, and I'm real happy about that.
Yeah, we are too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks.
Well, how long have you been working with Disney, either as, you know, as Goofy, and don't you do a few other voices?
Oh, absolutely.
Them?
Yes. I started, I can tell you, January of 1987 was the first time I did Goofy. And since then, I've been the exclusive voice for it, and I've probably done about 3,500 different shows for Disney over the years. Wow. And, of course, still doing Goofy. We're doing the new Mickey Mouse shorts. Mickey Mouse Clubhouse is still on the air, doing new projects all the time. And, yes, I do quite a few other voices for Disney. Over the years, I've done Sleepy of the Seven Dwarfs. I'm Horse Collar's voice, which we actually came up with in The Prince and the Pauper. Just on the spot, they needed a voice for him because he really didn't talk, and so they wanted him to kind of sound a little bit kind of like a little bit snooty, so I was thinking Jim Backus. And they wanted him a little bit more droll, so I was thinking Ben Stein from Ferris Bueller, so I kind of put the voices together and we came up with this one. And, of course, Pluto, who doesn't talk, but I do get paid to bark, and I've barked for Pluto for the last almost 30 years.
Wow. Can you bark for us?
Whoa!
Thank you.
You know, I get to write off my dog as research.
That's fantastic.
The latest voice, which we are now publicizing this summer, is the television series for kids called 7D is in Seven Dwarves. It's a new take on the Seven Dwarves, and of the Seven Dwarves, I'm Doc. He's kind of the inventor and the wise older dwarf, and it's got a great cast, and that's coming out in the summer sometime, and it's really a cute show. We've recorded the first season. They're animating them now, and they're starting to come back, and it really looks great.
Wow, that'll be great. So that'll be on, I guess, one of the Disney channels.
Yeah, I think Disney XD or a Disney channel. I'm not sure where, but yeah, you'll be hearing about it, and they'll make more announcements about it as the time gets closer.
Wow, that's great. You know, we know that you've worked with Disney for a long time, and you must have some favorite Disney moments. You know, I know you've been to the Expo. I know you've, you know, done a lot of different projects with Disney. Has there been any favorite moment of you, whether it's meeting somebody or doing something that you enjoyed?
Limiting it down to a couple would be the difficult. Of course, probably one of the highlights of my career was being awarded a Disney Legend status in 2009. Ours was the first public, a legend ceremony.
Right.
And that was in front of about 4,500 people down at Anaheim Convention Center. And I got my Disney Legend Award along with Tony Anselmo, the voice of Donald, and Robin Williams and Betty White. And it was just, and Bob Iger was there and gave me the statue. And I got my hands in cement, which they turned into a bronze plaque, which is on the Disney Legend Plaza over at the studios. That's probably one of the all-time high points. Also, gosh, a Goofy movie. Working with a lot of celebrities over the years has always been fun. There's just so many, it's really hard to pick out one or two. But those are what come to mind.
Yeah. Wow, that is amazing. Okay, now I'm going to go back a little further. I know that you said you used to watch a lot of the older Goofy cartoons and that you really enjoyed them. And do you have a favorite Goofy movie or short? And I'm going to ask this in two parts. One that you've seen that you didn't do, and a favorite one that you did.
Oh, right. Of course, probably my all-time favorite has to be a Goofy movie for several reasons. It's a father and son picture. My son, Austin, is about 4 years old when it came out. So he was just kind of starting to figure out who I was and that my job was a little different than a lot of his friends' dads. So it was a real father-son for me and him as well. And also it was the first feature film starring one of the Fab Five, full-length feature film. I saw it in the theaters with an audience, which is really a great thing to get the chance to do. So that's the one I did. Of course, some of the early Pinto Colvig stuff like Boat Builders and Lonesome Ghosts and Goofy's Glider and all sorts of cartoons from that era are my favorite Goofy cartoons. And probably Lonesome Ghosts is one of my all-time favorite. It was also one of the soundtracks that I had to copy on my very first Goofy audition was lines from, Boat Builders and Lonesome Ghosts. So that holds a special place in my heart as well.
Yeah. I think my favorite short is the How to Hook Up Your Home Theater.
Oh, yeah. Well, I did that one a few years ago, and that was out in front of National Treasure 2. A lot of people told me, they thought it was an old cartoon. They did it so beautifully until it started talking about the beauty of CDs and DVDs and LDs and all of this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really proud of that, too. I would love to get a chance to do some more of those if we can.
Yeah. I hope that they bring, you know, Pixar has like a little short, or at least they try to put a little short in front of their movies. I hope Disney kind of follows the same suit now. And it seems to be that way. They seem to have these little shorts that they are putting in front of the movie. So
yeah,
maybe they'll bring them back.
And I think, what was it, Have a Horse or whatever it was up for an Oscar this year. Yeah.
So they may be making a comeback.
I hope so.
Yeah.
There was also the football one. I mean, I love this set up your home entertainment system because I actually work in audiovisual.
Oh, okay,
That one always cracks me up because I can actually see different people that I know do that. But the one where he was coaching football, I thought was great.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of great ones over the years. A lot of the how-tos: how to ski, how to fish, how to play golf, how to play baseball, football. All of those are great.
Yeah. Well, and he's the perfect character to show a how-to, because he's going to show you everything that you're going to do wrong, and it's okay.
Yeah, and that's what's one of the great things about the Goofy characters, that you can put him in any situation, and it seems to work.
Yeah, very true. Bill, here's a question for you. And you know, I was once a cast member, and they used to, in traditions, this was a long time ago, kind of teach you how to you know, be one of the characters, Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, whatever. So have you ever had a chance to actually be Goofy in the park?
No, I haven't. One time I was backstage down there, and I was able to put the Goofy head on. And it's amazing what the people that do that have to go through, because it was like tunnel vision. You're looking through Goofy's mouth, and you can't see very much at all, and nothing on the side, so it's a little claustrophobic. I can imagine that's kind of tough out there. And they never break character. A lot of times I'll go up to them and I'll whisper to them. I'll say, "Gosh, I'm your voice." And they always, they never break character, but they'll always, "Oh, yeah, I know you," and that kind of thing, and pat me on the back and stuff like that. That's a lot of fun, but I've never gotten any of them to ever break character.
Yeah. Have you seen or been to the new Talking Mickey here in Florida?
I have seen the Talking Mickey on a couple of the stage shows and a prototype before, and I think they've done, you know, a Talking Goofy too, but I haven't seen much about that lately. I know it's a technology they're working on, and but I have seen the newer ones that blink their eyes and move their mouths a little bit. It would be fun one day just to get in the suit and go out there and start talking to kids and watch them flip out.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, now, how tall are you, Bill?
Oh, I'm only 5'10", so I don't think I'd make it, you know.
Oh, okay.
I'd have to wear elevator shoes. Maybe I could do Pluto.
Oh, I was going to try for you, but, you know. Well, can you tell us what, there's always the good parts and the bad parts to any quote-unquote job.
Yeah.
What's the best part about being Goofy? And what's the worst part about being Goofy's voice?
Gosh, well, the best part is probably the friendship and family that I have with all the other actors over at Disney, and just the love I have for the character, and getting to bring to life some wonderful scripts that I really love. Gosh, it's never the same. It's never a boring job at all. It's always just exciting, and I'm always just thrilled to get a chance to do that. The bad side is probably the kind of, since I'm not a Disney employee, it's kind of like, you know, sometimes it goes through up times where we have a lot of stuff to do and I'm real happy, and then it'll kind of get a little bleak area where they don't have many projects to do, and I'll be sitting around thinking, I want to go in and play. But so it, varies from time to time. That'd be the only bad thing. I'd just like to do it more often.
Nice.
Yeah. I know I had seen a video, I think it was yourself and some of the other character actors. I think Mickey was one of them, and I think Donald. And I know you had spoken that Pluto is a very hard voice to do because of the barking. It does strain your voice. Is Goofy hard for you to do, or is that something more easy?
That's an easier one. There's a lot of voices that are tough on your voice. I remember I had to do some show many years ago is the voice of Wolfman Jack, who was a DJ, and he had very deep voice. It was kind of a very gravelly voice. So when you do this, it's kind of a grating, gravelly kind of thing. And if you talk like this for about 3 hours, it's going to start hurting, you know. And so there are voices that are much rougher on your voice, but, oh, gosh, Goofy's fairly easy. And I also, I can do it all day.
Now, has there been, you know, a word or a phrase or a sentence or something like that that they had in a script that was hard to do in the Goofy voice?
Not physically hard, but it doesn't sound like Goofy unless the script is written with the character in mind. And not everyone can write for Goofy. So we have a department, Disney Character Voices, that generally goes over each of the scripts we get and makes sure that it's written in the vernacular that Goofy would say and can say easily. In thinking about that question, when I first started doing the Goofy voice, I was doing basically an impression of Goofy as done by Pinto Colvig. And I started off by doing things that Pinto Colvig had said in earlier cartoons. But one year we did what was called State Fair down at Disneyland, and I got to do the monorail spiel as Goofy. Now, those were words that were never spoken by Goofy and were not written for Goofy. And it was quite difficult for me to do that at that time because I didn't know how Goofy would say all of these words. But we did get through it, and it was a great training thing. But a couple of years in of doing the character, I figured out that now I can say just about anything, and it sounds like Goofy's saying it because I know the character so well.
Okay, see, now I'm just going to have to ask you.
Yeah.
Can you still do the monorail spiel, and can you do it?
I'd have to have it in front of me. It's like, now we're going 30 miles an hour over the parking lot and heading toward the Disneyland Hotel. And this is the first and only operating monorail in the Western Hemisphere or the Northern Hemisphere, whatever it was. But now I can make it sound like Goofy was saying it.
Oh my gosh, that was great. My husband is one of those people that always has to do the Spanish. How does it go, Tony?
Por favor, manténgase
a la jara de la puerta.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I was like, if I could get that in the Goofy voice, I am the best wife ever.
I have done other languages. As a matter of fact, that's an interesting part of Disney character voices' job, is to find all of these voices in about 42 different languages around the world. And like, you know, if they come out with a new thing like Frozen, they've got to find all those characters in about 40 some different languages. People that can sing in those voices, people that can talk in those voices. I actually, when I first started, had to loop 6 cartoons into German, and I don't speak German. They got me a professor from USC who spoke German, who I don't think had ever heard a cartoon in her life. She was like, "Why is Goofy falling out of the airplane? He is not killed. It's a cartoon." And so we go through it, and it's like, "Eins, zwei, drei." And it's very difficult because a German is kind of an up in the front of the mouth voice. It's like Ludwig von Drake, you know, up there in the front of the voice. It's, it's not a guttural voice like Goofy is. And it was very difficult. It took me about 12 hours to do, because I had to do it 2-picture, looping some old cartoons. And I asked about a month later, I said, "Whatever happened to the German thing we did?" And they said, "Well, it was pretty good, except you had an Austrian accent." And they didn't check, but the professor of German was from Austria, so I was picking up her accent. And so they finally found someone in Berlin or somewhere that could do that. It's funny to hear the voices in other language. When we did the Kingdom Hearts games, that was produced first in Japan. So I'm hearing the Japanese Goofy in my headphones. I'm replacing it with English. And the Japanese Goofy had studied my voice to learn how to do the laugh and all of that. And it was very odd because it's like, "Oh, doishi maika, oh, chao, oh." You know, it's very odd to hear. and it was funny. He had broken down the Goofy laugh into 3 distinct parts and was very robotic. Instead of the typical, "Oh, yeah," it was more, "Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh." You know, it sounded very robotic and strange to me. So it's kind of weird, the fact that they have to translate these into other languages.
That's fantastic.
That I have not heard any of that before. That is great.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard a Japanese Goofy before.
No, it's kind of weird.
Now, do you have any idea what you just said?
Just
check.
I didn't say anything, I don't think.
I guess we'll find out when this...
Yeah, if we get letters.
So, you know, Bill, you've been doing this a long time. What advice would you give somebody that wants to be a voice actor?
Well, I teach voice actors quite often, and my son and I have a little company called Toon House, where we actually do demos for up-and-coming actors and voice actors. And I've learned a lot by teaching others. And one of the main thing is that voiceover, as well as any kind of show business, music, acting, singing, dancing, anything, is very competitive and very difficult. If you're thinking of doing this, have a backup career that's providing money for you to live on while you do this. Do this because you have a passion for it, not because you're going to make a big living doing it. Otherwise, I don't think you'll make it in the long run. You've got to do it for the passion. Also, take acting lessons, because it's no different than on-camera acting. It's more akin to stage acting than it is film acting, but the techniques are the same, and we're not people that just do funny voices, but you have to give that voice a personality, a character, and a life. Otherwise, it kind of sounds hollow or lifeless. So if you want to do this, I would say learn acting and get a great demo, because you're competing against all the great voice actors in the world, and put it out there and go for it because you love it.
Yeah, that's great advice. Wow.
Now, I know that you also do, I've seen some clips of movies, like a Halloween movie that you do with your wife.
Oh,
is that
yeah.
part of this production company that you're talking about that you have?
Yeah. We did a little Halloween film called Pumpkin Man that we did when we first came out here, just because we all love Halloween, and we, you know, just did a little film. We produce documentaries, my wife and I do. That's more of her thing. My thing is doing the demos. And hey, if anyone, you know, wants to find out more about it, I got a website, you know, billfarmer.com. They can kind of check into it, or toonhouseinc.com, and they can check that out and find out about it if anyone's interested in doing this wacky thing for a living. But yes, we do. You kind of keep your hands in all of it, and that's why I keep doing stand up and sketch comedy, because, you know, it's you can get rusty rather easily. And as I said before, the best training is live performing in front of a live audience.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. I have one last question.
Sure.
Before I let Tony kind of wrap us up. I know that there are a few of the other voice actors that have done Goofy that were kind of doing some things around the same time that you started. Have you met any of them?
Well, some, yeah. In Mickey's Christmas Carol, that was done by an actor, Hal Smith, who I knew before he passed away. Tony Pope was doing Goofy sporadically throughout that same era. And before I took over the voice, it was kind of like a Goofy du jour. There were several people doing Goofy, and Tony I knew, as well as Hal. And I never met Pinto Colvig. He passed away in, I think, the late 60s. But voice actors are just great. We do this because we love the art. We love doing this. It's not, most voice actors aren't trying to hog the limelight. And whereas, you know, on-camera actors seem to be more about that, and you know, watch on TV about who's fighting with who and everything. I found all the voice actors be very supportive and just generally great people.
Yeah, I thought it was that was something interesting when I was doing my research, that I found that, you know, in the 80s, there were four different people that had done Goofy.
Uh-huh.
And that there were six total. And so it was, and even Pinto Colvig, he did it for a while and then he went away and someone
right.
else did it and then he came back.
Yeah.
And so, and then, and you mentioned, I think Will Ryan was the only one.
Well, Will Ryan, yeah. Will, I know real well, and he does Willie the Giant. And has done that several times in Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, and I've been on shows with Will, and he's a great friend. So yeah, I do know them.
That's crazy.
Yeah. All right, so Bill, you know, before we wrap up, you know, where can people find you, and you know, what other, you know, new projects that people can see you in and hear you in?
Okay.
Yep.
Sure. Well, first of all, at Goofy Bill is my Twitter account, or of course on Facebook, Bill Farmer, billfarmer.com, my website, or billfarmer.net, same thing, and toonhouseinc.com, another website more for the business end of it, and they can contact me that way. Let's see, what am I coming up? We're actually premiering the new series, 7D, this summer. You can certainly see me in that. The new Mickey shorts, which are, if you haven't seen those yet, are available on YouTube and on Disney websites and occasionally on Disney Channel, are like really popular right now. They're a much different take on the characters. It's more like Dippy the dog than it is Goofy, and it's very retro, and it's a little more edgy than we've ever been with the character, but they're very funny. We had a Halloween episode where Goofy was a zombie, I'll just look that up for you on YouTube and watch that. We're doing more of those. We're doing the 7D. May 6th, I'm going to be at the Second City Theater in Hollywood with Fred Willard doing a sketch comedy group with his comedy group, the Mohos. You can look out Fred Willard's Mohos online and find out about that. And who knows what else? I never know. My son's a drummer. He's in a couple of bands performing, up and down the West Coast. I think they got a couple of shows this weekend in Hermosa Beach. And on Friday nights, I do a live show on a place called staticbeach.com. It's a live radio show, and we have great new bands and stuff. I'm kind of the co-host. I won't be on this Friday because I'm going to be out of town, but next Friday I should be on it 7 to 10 o'clock, and most Fridays on Static Beach. So I'm keeping busy, or trying to.
Yeah. That sounds like a completely full schedule, Bill.
Pretty good. It's not too bad.
Well, and I think it was absolutely great that in the middle of all of that, you are a good dad. You just plugged your son's band just out of nowhere. Just kind of slipped that in there.
Oh, he studied with like Ringo Starr's drummer and the Doobie Brothers drummer and all of these guys. He's really good. And I'll plug him. Yeah, it's a band called Indian Summer. They got indiansummer.co, and not C-O-M, C-O, and another one called Anabot, and it's A-N-A-B-O-T, and it's anabotmusic.com, and they're getting out there. So if you want to hear the kid that got all the musical talent, you can check that out.
That's great. That's great. Well, Bill, I have to say thank you for your time. We truly appreciate you coming on the show and talking to all the Disney fans about I think one of everybody's favorite characters, Goofy.
Gosh, well, thanks for having me on. It was my pleasure.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc., are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through. One reach upon a star, your dreams come.
Hidden Gem Productions. If you're in need of audio services or voice talent, contact Hidden Gem Productions. Our professional team will provide fast, custom audio services and talent at a reasonable price. Our goal is to completely satisfy your audio needs and exceed your expectations. No project is too small. For more information, audio samples, and a list of services provided, head to www.hiddengemproductions.com today.